We're going to read three psalms this morning, not all together, but we're going to turn to Psalm 121. You remember that I've been sharing some thoughts from this psalm on two occasions recently, and we're coming to it again this morning. So I'm going to read the whole of the psalm, Psalm 121, and we'll call this part three as we come to a conclusion. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The last time we looked at this, I gave some words beginning with S that came from the various verses within this chapter. And I put it this way, from verses 3, we find that God gives us stability and that he never sleeps. And then from verses 5 to 8, we find that he gives us shade or protection, he gives us safety, he gives us security, and from verse 8, he keeps us in step, which automatically takes us back to verse 3, where we can talk about the stability that the Lord gives to us as we allow him to be Lord in our lives. And so we're coming to those last four. He gives us shade, he gives us safety, he gives us security, and he keeps us in step. And rather than look at each of them, shade, safety, security, and steps separately, I'm going to bind them or bring them and link them all together. But first, some other verses that I want to read this morning from another psalm that automatically came to my mind as I began to think of the thoughts that I wanted to share with us this morning. And it's a very well-known psalm. It's one of the longer psalms in a sense, but I feel that it's good and right to read the whole of that psalm this morning amongst you as God's people, but in the presence of God himself. Because as we read this psalm, it's in a sense sums everything up that we're reading from Psalm 121. And it's a psalm that we need to hold on to as we walk through our Christian pilgrimage. And it's Psalm 91. And it says there in Psalm 91, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You shall not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you've made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him, because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And so that psalm, Psalm 91, in a sense, covers everything that we can find from Psalm 121. As we lift up our eyes to the hills and towards the hills, towards the Lord God who created the heavens and the earth. For he and he alone is our helper. Then, following my preparation from what I'm sharing this morning, and I'd gone to Psalm 91 and I'd read through Psalm 91, I went downstairs to make myself a cup of tea, and as I went down, and I suddenly discovered that from leaving my office and going down the stairs and going into the kitchen and switching the kettle on, I suddenly realized subconsciously that I'd started to whistle a certain hymn. And then at certain points, because I'm a big whistler, I do a lot of whistling, as some of you know, and from the whistling, I suddenly found myself changing from a whistle to starting to sing the words of a particular hymn. And as I began to think of what I was whistling and singing, I began to realize that something within that hymn also fitted in with the context of what I am sharing this morning. And the hymn was "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds." And the thought came to me as I pondered about it that sometimes you don't have to dig too deep to find what you need. And I want to apply that to a spiritual level this morning. Sometimes we do have to dig deep. But there are other times when you don't have to dig too deep to find what you need. What you're looking for, what you need at a particular moment, it's sometimes just lying under the surface. And I feel that this is a little like what I'm sharing about this morning. I don't need to deep into theological issues. I don't need to bury my head in books or commentaries. But I simply need to state the easily discovered truths and wonders concerning God as our Heavenly Father, and Jesus, his Son, who we can rightfully call our Saviour. And the words of that hymn, it's 251 in the White Book, "How sweet the name of Jesus sounds. In a believer's ear, it soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. It makes the wounded spirit whole, and calms the troubled breast. 'Tis manna to the hungry soul and to the weary breast. Dear name, the rock on which I build, my shield and hiding place, my never-failing treasury filled with boundless stores of grace. Jesus, my shepherd, brother, friend, my prophet, priest and king, my Lord, my life, my way, my end, accept the praise I bring. Weak is the effort of my heart and cold my warmest thought. But when I see thee as thou art, I'll praise thee as I ought. Till then, I would thy love proclaim with every fleeting breath, and may the music of thy name refresh my soul in death." Now, going back to the blue book instead of the white book, the verse 4 in the white book says, "Jesus, my shepherd, brother, friend," and I'm okay with that. But I remember the words more easily from the older hymn books, which say, "Jesus, my shepherd, saviour, friend." But in the context of the song, we're looking at verse 3, which says, "Dear name, dear name," the name of Jesus, that wonderful name, that beautiful name, the sweet name, the all-powerful name. "Dear name, the rock on which I build, my shield, my shield, my hiding place, my never-failing treasury filled with boundless stores of grace." And can I suggest this morning that the shade, the safety and security that I'm talking about, that's found in Psalm 121, that's found in Psalm 91, and is found in the words of that hymn, are only available when we are willing to put our faith and trust and confidence in God as our Heavenly Father, and place our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. They are promises that are to God's people. In the Old Testament, there were promises to the children of Israel, and of which I believe are still applicable to the nation of Israel today. But when we come to the New Testament and the Day of Grace, they are promises that are applicable to you and I, who have come to know what it is to hide our lives in the safety of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. And so we need to understand that when we sing these words or read what we read in these songs concerning God being our refuge, our strength, our safety and everything else, that when we read these things and ponder upon them, it is not a license for us to do that which would deliberately put ourselves in danger. And that's so important today. It's not a license to say, well, it's okay, he's going to look after me. It's not a license to put our souls into danger, because God expects us to play our part too. Now, you might remember when I shared from the first part of this that I mentioned the moments of the time when I was walking on the Little Orm. There's the Great Orm and the Little Orm. There's like two mountains which butt onto the end of Llandudno in North Wales. And I was walking with, Laura was with me, and a friend of ours and his wife. We were walking along the top of the one with their dog. And I got a little bit close to the edge, but it was okay where I was, but I hadn't got the right footwear on, and I slipped. And down below, I was just falling onto the rocks and into the sea. And as I slipped, I went forward, but I managed to push my hands back like that, and I managed to stop myself from going down the edge onto the rocks below. And I believe that God helped me on that situation. I knew something of the powerful protection of Almighty God, because there's no doubt about it, if I hadn't stopped myself, or if God hadn't stopped me, I'd have gone down and I would have hit myself on the rocks. I would have been at least severely damaged or possibly even killed. But God helped me. God protected me. But it might have been a completely different story if I had gone to the edge of that cliff. And as I got to the edge of the cliff, I said, well, I'm going to jump down because the Lord has promised that he will look after me. But I believe that on that occasion, if that had been the case, that God would have had the right to have turned to me, and excuse the way that I'm putting it, God would have had the right to say to me, don't be stupid. Use the common sense that I've given to you. And we need, as the people of God, to make sure that we use the common sense that God has given us and not think that we can enter into anything and every situation thinking, I'm okay, I'm a child of God, he's going to look after me. If we act foolishly, if we act stupidly, then we can't expect the protection of God upon our lives. See, how often do we put our souls in danger when, spiritually speaking, we should know better? We somehow do spiritually stupid things by the things that we do. And sometimes it's with the places that we go to. And as Psalm 1 says, whereas we should be, we should not be involved in walking with those who are scoffers, those who are in the counsel of the wicked, and we shouldn't be participating in the things that they're doing. And if we are, then we don't have a right to demand the protection of God upon our lives. What we should be doing is just being in that place where we're walking according to the word of God and to the will of God. And I wonder how many of us in the past have done stupid things. And we know that we've put our spirituality, our souls in danger. You may be even doing it today, spending your time doing things, going to places, involved in things which are putting your soul in danger. And we're called by the word of God to walk not in the ways of the world, but to walk in the paths of God. Now, when we come to verse 6 of Psalm 121, it is a promise to the children of Israel, as this whole chapter is, as they make their journey up to Jerusalem. You may remember again in the first time that I spoke on this, I mentioned the various terrains that they would have walked. Sometimes it had been down in the valley. Other times it had been on what we would call middle-sized mountains. Another time they would have been on the top of the higher mountains and then back down the terrain again, making their way from wherever it was they were leaving to come to the hill of the Lord, to Jerusalem, to worship. And I mentioned that Jesus gave a parable. We find it in the Gospels, where Jesus talks there of the Good Samaritan, and he talks of a certain man on the road between Jerusalem and Jericho. And in that parable, he talks about the fact that this man was attacked and he was beaten up. Now, I know that it's only a parable, a story, but I believe that in that story, Jesus was identifying to the people known problems on the roads at that time. As they would have travelled, even as Jesus and the disciples would have travelled, they would have come across bandits, they would have come across thieves, they would have come across robbers who were ready to attack, to take from them their possessions. And not only people as thieves and robbers and bandits, but they would even have come across wild animals. And so when it comes to the children of Israel, as they were making their way to the house of the Lord, they would have come across these same things: thieves, bandits, robbers, wild animals. And so the Lord said that he would be with them as they traveled to protect them on their journey. And the Lord is with us. Amen. He's with you and he's with me to protect us on our journey. But here in verse 6, it is a promise of the protection of God, not just concerning the terrain, not concerning the thieves, but it is also a protection of God concerning them over the temperatures that they would come across. Let me just come back to Psalm 121 and verse 6. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. See, the psalmist talks of the sun, and he talks of the moon. And what the psalmist is talking about here is that it is all about the heat that they would face during their travels during the day. And it would all be about the cool or the cold that they would come across as they traveled through the night. And we think that our weather's bad enough in the United Kingdom. And it is bad enough. We don't want it to get any worse, especially here in the summer. But in that part of the world, it would get dangerously hot during the day, and then it would get dangerously hot during the night. So the danger in the day would be for sunstroke, and the danger during the night would be for frostbite. And the Lord says, the sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. I've got a friend who served in the SAS, and he served in the Iraq wars back in the 1990s, and I remember him talking to me about some of his experience there in Iraq, and he told me that during the day they needed shade, they needed protection, because it got exceedingly hot out in the desert. But then he said when it came to the night time, because of his capacity as the SES, there would be no protection because they were stealth going into certain places. And he said, you would shiver, you would be cold, you would be freezing. And you were at the risk of frostbite because the temperatures would be so extreme to what it was in the middle of the day. And I think when we think of this psalm, that the Lord is better than the best sun factor cream during the day. And the Lord is better than the thickest fur-lined cold coat during the night. He's our protection. He watches over us day and night, 24/7. And as we're on our journey, we'll go through many terrains. Remember the words I quoted before: when the road is rough and steep, fix your eyes upon Jesus. And we'll also know the enemy coming like a thief to rob us so much in our Christian experience if we're not on the lookout for him. See, Satan would love to rob you of your peace. Can I say that again this morning? Satan would love to rob you of your peace. But Jesus has promised us peace. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. It's not a world peace like the world gives. It's His peace. It's supernatural peace. And the enemy would love nothing better than to cause you and I to lose our peace because we allow him to come and to rob us of it. He may try to rob you of your joy. Your joy. You know, you and I, as the children of God, we should be the most joyful and the most happiest people on this earth. We don't show it very often, do we? But we should be. And the devil would love to come and to rob us of our joy. The devil also is going round like a roaring lion, and he would love to rob you of your desire for the things of God. Now many, and I mentioned a little bit of this on Friday evening when I was sharing from God's word, how many of us have been to that place where we've surrendered our life to God and there was something within us we knew that 100% we were going to follow it through because we desired to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet somehow, it doesn't take very long, we allow the devil to come and take that desire away from us. It happens to us all. Because the devil would love to do it. And perhaps if I could say the worst one of all, the devil would love to rob us of our salvation. That's why we need to stand firm. That's why we must make sure that we don't traverse and go to those places where the Satan can take hold of us and cause us to walk away from the path that we've set on as we've committed our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And sadly today, there are too many believers who are wanting to follow Jesus, yet at the same time, they're still wanting to meddle with the things of the world. They have more interest in going to the pub, or they have more interest in going to other places rather than to be found in the house of God. That's the devil at work, coming to rob us of those things which God has done in our hearts and our lives. He's going around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. But then on top of it all, we're living in the climate or an age in which we're living in. Now I'm going to suggest, say something this morning, you don't have to agree with me, okay? But I don't accept the net zero and climate change stuff, okay? God's in control. The nations have always gone through this climatic change. Always. Okay, so we're being conned with this net zero. God has given the riches in this earth for us to use. The oil, the coal, and everything else. But there can be climate change in the spiritual temperature. Yes? There can definitely be a change of spiritual climate. For we know that there are times of revival for which we thank God. Great times of revival that have come to the nations of the world. But there are also times like what we're experiencing now where there is a definite coldness in the air. There is an apathy. There is a hatred towards God and towards the people of God. And even this week alone, I saw somebody from a certain religion making a statement. And in the midst of the statement, this is what he said. We're coming first of all for the Jews. And then he said, we're coming after the Christians. Jews first, and then the Christians. There is so much hatred towards the people of God. And who are the people of God? It's the nation of Israel, the Jew, and the Christians who make up the body of Christ. And so we find nations are sometimes spiritual, sometimes they're cold. And what I want to state this morning is this. Whether the spiritual climate of our nation, our society around us is hot, cold, or lukewarm, which is in between the two, God will protect his people. God will protect his people. Jesus will build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But even if our society, and it has gone cold toward God, you and I, the people of God, the church, who make up his body, we shouldn't go cold towards God And we shouldn't even be lukewarm towards God. We should be on fire for Him. We should be on fire for Him. The fire should be burning in our belly, in our soul, in our heart, for the things of God and for His power to display it amongst us again. This is one of the churches in the book of Revelation that Jesus said to them, "You are neither hot nor cold." So they were lukewarm, in between. And what did Jesus say? He said, "I'm going to spew you out of my mouth." That is so serious. So, so serious. And let us all this morning be honest before God. On a temperature scale of 0 through to 10, 0 being cold and 10 being hot, how would we score ourselves with regard to spiritual matters and with regard to the things of God? I don't want to know your answer. It's between you and God. But more importantly, how would God score us? Because He sees us. He knows all about us. He knows the condition of our heart this morning. How would God score us? And this is the vital thing. If you this morning would think, "Well, I'm halfway there, number 5, lukewarm," then that's not enough. It's not enough, because He will spew us out, because He desires for us to be 10, every single one of us, 10, burning, hot, on fire, with desire to serve and to live for the living God. And He behoves each one of us this morning to examine where we are, to examine our hearts, to look at our desires, to look at our motives, to see where our longings are towards. And if they're not for Jesus, if they're not for the things of God, then we're going down the scale and risking lukewarmness or coldness. But come to verses 7 to 8. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep you. You're going out and you're coming in from this. The Lord will keep you going out and you're coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The third psalm that I want to read to link into this is one we know so very well. Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." See, the Lord that we're talking about when we read the Word of God and sing the songs, the Lord we are talking about is our shepherd. Remember the hymn I just quoted? "Jesus, my shepherd, Saviour, friend." He's with us. That's the good news this morning. Our shepherd is with us. He comes with us. He will bring His protection over us as we remain faithful to Him as the sheep of His pasture. He will cause, and this is so wonderful, He will cause His goodness and His mercy to follow us all the days of our lives. And the good news gets even better, because we're all going to face this should the Lord tarry. He will be with us, this wonderful shepherd. He will be with us as we pass through the valley of the shadow of death. And then He will deliver us up into His eternal kingdom. And guess what? We will dwell in His house forever. I want to be determined. I don't want to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, or 8, or 9. I want to be 10 for Jesus. I want to live my life for him. I want to give praise, honor, and glory to his wonderful name, because he's such a wonderful Savior and Shepherd. So in other words, as I've used that song, when the road is rough and steep, fix your eyes upon Jesus. He alone has power to keep. Fix your eyes upon him. Jesus is a gracious friend, one on whom you can depend. He is faithful to the end. Fix your eyes upon him. So as we keep our eyes fixed upon him, he will be our helper. He will be our ever. He will be the ever-present helper towards each one of us. And some words beginning with W that tie in with it all. As we keep our eyes fixed upon him, he will watch over us. He will watch over us. Remember we quoted in Friday evening, I think it was, or might have been last Sunday evening, about said the robin to the sparrow. And goes on, staying up to have no heavenly father such as watches over you and me. What we do, don't we? He watches over us. Not only does he watch over us, he will walk with us. Walk with us. So this is a good challenge. If Jesus is walking with us, would he be happy with the places that we go into? Would he? Would he be happy with some of the places we go into? Would he rather stay at the door? It's a challenge, isn't it? He will wrap his arms around us. Isn't that wonderful? This is our shepherd. And those times where, when we're down and things in life are getting us sort of feeling a bit glum, and we're going through times of sorrow or whatever else it might be, our shepherd not only watches over us, not only walks with us, but he wraps his arms around us. Such is his tender mercy and love and care for each one of us. And then he will help us to weather the storms. Isn't that wonderful? He will help us to weather the storms of life. Sometimes, like he did in the boat, you'll stand up and say, "Peace be still," and the storm will be stopped. But there are other times when you say, "No, you need to go through the storm. But don't worry, I'm going through it with you. And together we'll get to the other side." So we'll weather the storms of life. And then when all is said and done, he's going to welcome us into his eternal presence. Yes, when you get there, some may be battle scarred, but at least it will mean we will have fought a good fight, kept our eyes upon Jesus, and finished the race. So I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I trust we can all say that this morning, that our hope, our confidence is in him.